Rock of ages, play for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy womb this silent flow. Be of sin thy double cure.
About page 232. Page 232.
Glory be.
first four and last verse. First four and last verse, 124.
How firm a foundation ye saints of the Lord is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say?
Same 37.
37. Page 37.
Filled with the strong.
time to continue on with our worship service in the way of prayer and preaching. And we welcome everybody that's come to worship with us today. This is another beautiful day that the Lord hath made. We appreciate your presence and trust we're all thankful for the privilege once again of assembling ourselves together to worship and call upon the name of our Savior and our God. It's a great privilege as well as a duty of those that know the Lord to assemble themselves together, present their bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable unto the Lord, and to worship and praise Him. When He was getting ready to part this world, He told His disciples, said, "Ye are my witnesses." And that was my prayer about 41 years ago when I called upon the Lord. I feel like that if He didn't spare me, I was gone worlds without end. And my prayer since then was that I might be a witness of His mercy and grace, of His loving kindness, and all of the benefits that He bestowed upon me. I'd left for that to be the last thing that I do before I breathe my last breath, is to bear witness of His mercy and love. It sure has been abundant, exceedingly abundant toward me, I feel. And I'm sure you feel the same way or you wouldn't be here this morning. And we are thankful for your presence and this opportunity once again. Brother Clyde found a pair of glasses out here on the handrail of the steps going down. If anybody has left them laying there, well, they're safe. And here they are. If you know anybody that's lost a pair, you might tell them about it. I've turned to page 152, hymn 379, Hungry, Faint, and Poor. And we'll ask Brother Keith to lead us, and you may stand if you like, and Brother Clyde to lead us in prayer. And we certainly desire an interest in your prayers as we go to the throne of grace, seeking grace and to help in a time of need. And we hope you'll be blessed to pray for us and for one another and the service.
Hungry and faint and poor, behold us, Lord, again assembled at Thy mercy's door.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to Thee this morning, in Jesus' precious name, that name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Lord, we come to Thee realizing, Lord, we come to the One who made heaven and earth and everything made that was made. We know that You have all power, Lord, that in heaven and in earth, and doeth Your will in the armies of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay Your hand. We come to You, dear Lord, this morning. We ask Your blessings be upon this service here this morning. Pray Thy blessings be upon each one who's gathered here. May they have a conscious of Thy divine presence in their midst. Lord, we pray Thou would bless them so good they want to come back again. Pray Thy blessings be upon our dear pastor and his wife. Pray especially this morning for him as he come to preach the precious word of God to us this morning. Lord, we pray Thou would bless him in an unusual way. Lord, we realize, Lord, without Your blessings be upon him, it'd be hard for him to bring anything that would be acceptable to us this morning. We pray that You would give him some bread, Lord, that he might feed these hungry sheep here this morning. Pray Thy blessings, Lord, upon each one that is sick and afflicted all around us in this hospital and nursing homes and different places. Lord, we humbly pray Thy blessing be upon them. Thou would comfort them, dear Lord. Be with those that are bereaved on account of loss of loved one. Humbly pray Thy blessing be upon them. And pray Thou would just comfort them, which You alone can do. Have Thine own way with us this morning. We'll thank You, dear Lord, for what You're going to do. In Jesus' precious name, we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen.
We appreciate the prayer of Brother Clyde. Say, prayer is the sincere desire of the heart, and it does me good to hear one of the Lord's saints unburden his heart to the Lord, and especially when I'm included in it, because I certainly feel like I need the prayers of the Lord's children. In the first chapter of the second epistle, Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, we have the statement where he tells Timothy, when he calls his own son in the faith, a young minister, to not to be ashamed. He says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions and of the gospel according to the power of God. Who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the apostle, being a prisoner when this was written, I believe it says that Paul was brought before Nero the second time. So he was in Rome and brought before Nero the second time when this was written. And he was encouraging Timothy not to be discouraged about him being in bonds. He says over here a little later that though he was in bonds, the word of God was not bound. And he encourages Timothy that Our salvation is of God, and he said that he hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And this is a doctrine that is not readily received by most of the religious world, but yet it is one that the Apostle Paul and Peter and John and the Lord himself all insisted upon, that our salvation is in Christ, and it's always been in him. Christ is an eternal being as far as his deity is concerned, but yet he is said to be the only begotten Son of God in far as his humanity is concerned. And this eternal being, the second person of the Trinity, took on himself a human body. And the Apostle John says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And everything that was made by him, and there was nothing made that was not made by him. And this Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. So this Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us, a great mystery. We get lost when we talk about eternity because we are creatures of time, and everything that we know is concerned with time and space and matter. I'm a material being here, and I can only occupy this space right here at this time. And if I move to the back of the room, then I'm no longer here. I can't occupy this space in it, but just one place at a time, and that's all we understand. But God, who is spirit, is able to occupy evidently all places at all times. And the Lord's eyes are everywhere, beholding the good and the evil, the scriptures tell us. And I've often wondered just what spirit was. God is a spirit, the scripture says. And the same word in the scriptures for spirit is the same word that's used for wind and for breath. But wind and breath, as we know it, has been created, and God is uncreated. So it's not the same thing in that sense. The Lord Jesus, who was God, the Son of God and the Son of Man, when he was here, he said that the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And so then life and spirit is closely related together. I don't know how to describe life, really. You can take the body and break it down into its chemicals. And I've heard it said that you could, this was years ago, you could buy all the chemicals it took to make up the body. Most of it's water, hydrogen and oxygen. And the other chemicals it takes to mix up with it, you could buy them for about $1.32, I believe it was, which is not much. But you could get all of this and put it together, and if you didn't have the power to put life in it, it'd just be a little handful of chemicals. And just what that life is, I wouldn't know how to describe it or to define it, except to say that it's life, it's living. And so our life is hid with Christ and God. And when he who is our life shall appear, we shall appear in glory with him, the scripture says. So our life is hid in Christ. Life is our Christ. I mean, Christ is our life, and he is our salvation. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. We have often had discourses with different people about this salvation, and the one over here in the first chapter where the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, the same young preacher, to neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And so here the apostle says that Timothy would save himself and those that heard him by adhering to the doctrine that he had received from the apostles, who received it from the Lord. But in the first verse we read, it says that God hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace that was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And they are both the truth, and they are both inspired by God, and they do not contradict one another when they are rightly divided. And in the first case, the apostle is talking about that Timothy would save himself and those that heard him, that they would be saved to the doctrine, to the truth, or to the teaching that he had received from the apostles. And that if he did not adhere to them and should be moved off from them, he would be, as the apostle told those in Galatia, that they would be fallen from grace. That is, he told the Galatians that if they were circumcised, then they would be under the law and would fall from grace. And some people take that scripture. We have a young minister down our way that used to be with a people called the Free Will Baptists, and he said that was their favorite scripture to prove that a man could fall from grace, and that they believed that a person had the power to will, they had free will, and they could by free will accept the Lord and be placed in the family of God, and they could by free will be sin and disobey the Lord and be out of the family of God again. And that was opposed to some of the other independent Baptists who preached the doctrine of the security, eternal security of the saints. They say that once that you have free will to get in the body of Christ by making a decision or accepting the Lord, and when you do that, you are immediately born again, but then you are eternally secure. They don't believe it's possible to fall out of the family of God once that you are in. So that's the difference in two kinds of Baptists that we know about. But the old Baptists, if I understand their position correctly, I believe that man does not have a free will to get in and out of the family of God, that he is under the curse of the law, being placed there when our forefather Adam sinned and fell from his state of innocency and fell from the favor of God, and he was removed from the Garden of Eden and the Tree of Life and the seraphims and were placed there at the garden to keep the way with the flaming sword so that man could not get back to the Tree of Life. He's been trying to do that ever since. He tried to build a tower in the days when God confounded the language and divided the nations as they are now. Now they're trying to go to the planets and to other parts of space and the universe, hoping to find out how we can discover eternal life. And they say where we come from. But I'm satisfied that regardless of where they go, that they will find that they cannot escape from the sentence of death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And death has passed upon all men, seeing that all have sinned. And so when Adam sinned, we sinned. He represented us. And Christ, the second Adam, the last man, he represents us. The Apostle Paul says that when he died, we died. And the reason he died was that he might satisfy that just law of God. As the Apostle put it, he said, seeing that we, through the weakness of the flesh, could not obey the law or keep the law, he sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh. And that's what the Son of God did. He came and he lived that perfect life that he might satisfy the law of God in every jot and in every tittle. And he, when he had satisfied every demand of the law and keeping it perfectly, then our sins were laid upon him, and he made his soul an offering, a sacrifice, and he bore our sins in his own body on the cruel cross of the tree, and that he who knew no sin was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so in that sense, though we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, we fell in Adam. And he, when he come into the world, he said to seek and to save that which was lost. And we were lost sheep. We were not goats and remade into sheep. And some people seem to think they want to, that an unsaved person is a goat, and then when they are saved, they become a sheep. But we said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And when he sent his disciples out to preach, he said, at first, go not in the way of the Gentiles, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so he come to save, to give his life a ransom for many. And he had many sheep among the Jews and many among the Gentiles. And he said that he had sheep that were not of this fold when he was here in person talking with the Jews. And he says, them I must bring also, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. He did not say that I will go and offer them an invitation to come into the fold, or I will give them certain conditions whereby they might come into the fold. But he said, I must bring them into the fold. And there shall be one, he said, they shall follow me, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The word in the King James Version is fold. I've been talking about the sheepfold before that, but the same word is deciphered flock in other places. And the sheep of God's flock, he had some among the Gentiles and some among the Jews. And these, there is a definite number of God's people. There is a body which is the Church of Christ. And the church is said to be his body, which is made up of members in particular. And God knows each and every one of them, generation by generation. The psalmist said in the 22nd Psalm, he said, a seed shall serve him, It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. And so the Lord has a seed, and the Apostle John referred to it. He said he that is born of God cannot sin because his seed remaineth in him. And so the holy new man, that is a creation by God, that's created in his image, cannot sin, and is said to be his seed. And so this, that your seed shall serve him, and it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. And they shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. And I trust this morning that that's what I'm doing. That scripture is being fulfilled here today. It's been fulfilled in generation after generation to a people that are born in that generation. And we testify and certify that the Lord hath done this. Salvation is of the Lord, and it's not in man to direct his steps. God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, if we want to consider this other scripture here, where he says that a man might save himself and those that hear him by adhering to the doctrine that he had received, to continue in them. The same idea is presented in the Revelation chapter, in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth. He said, maybe I can read it better than I can quote it, but he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye also have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you,